Hello and welcome to the GHPC Patron Q&A for March of 2023. We are not on a stream month this month, but we still have a Q&A as we do every month. Most of you guys probably know how this works. You request to speak in the patron stage on Discord. We will take the requests in the order they come in, and we will do our best to answer your questions or hear your thoughts.
I will use ChatGPT for all of my answers today.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
All right. First up is Steggy.
Hello. Glad to be here again.
Hello.
Hello.
My first question. Let's say you're talking to a new player. What would you say each faction's play styles are?
I mean, they're kind of reflective of what they were doing in real life, which is that the NATO play style, so to speak, is to have technical superiority and try to achieve a greater amount of losses, a greater ratio of kills to losses than the enemy by far. I heard that their plans required that each tank had to take out a certain number of packed tanks in order for it to be worth it. But the packed, I mean, I'm not going to reduce it to, oh, they did human wave or whatever, like people like to say, but they definitely had numerical superiority. They had a focus on a large number of troops in their forces. They did exploiting weak points, just very kinetic strategies. I'm not really qualified to speak beyond that basic understanding. So in the game, the play styles are going to be packed as hard mode. You're going to have to make a lot more use of tactics and getting around the enemy's strong points. In the future, there will be more packed vehicles, so there will be a bit of an asymmetry balance going on. But for now, it's basically just the same thing as NATO, but much harder.
Yeah, that brings me to my second question. Will this kind of like this real life doctrine and quote unquote playstyles will be implemented in the campaign as well, as in? NATO will like be able to win more victories, but have less storage, less reserves.
I'm not really sure about that. There's going to be differences in how the missions are structured eventually, but I can't really say how the scoring or the other mechanics will change for each side.
I see. Well, those are all my questions for now. Thank you.
Thanks.
Next up is Joe the Pirate.
Howdy.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. I've got a bunch of questions, but I'll just start with a couple for now. And one's just kind of a general interest question. What was a piece of information that you guys had to track down that was way harder than you thought it should be?
There's been a few. Let me think. I know that we were doing a bunch of research about what kind of tow missiles that they had during the time frame and in the place that GHPC is set in. And the basic info, like when different kinds of tow missile were invented, is very easy to find. But then you have to look at, you know, when did they get their hands on them? And then there was kind of hidden lore that we only found more recently, which is that they were actually having procurement issues with the ITO. So even though the ITO had been invented and had been fielded and whatnot, it was not actually meeting its number goals for production and delivery. So they ended up having to do some weird stuff. They had a new safety feature. I don't remember exactly what it was called. It had some acronym. But the early tow missiles were retrofitted with this safety feature, and they required it on all the new ones going forward. And the ITOs A bunch of the Itos got kind of cannibalized to meet the TOW missile requirements for the base model. Since they already had the safety feature on them, they were downgraded to the regular TOW warhead and turned into TOWs to be shipped. So that's some interesting hidden stuff about TOW missiles. Like there would have been a lot of base model TOWs still in 85, and probably more than ITOs.
Go ahead.
I know, I was just going to say that's something I kind of run into too, like when, you know, thinking about asking a question, like, okay, this thing was invented in 83, procured in 84, but were there any actually fielded at the time? So that's kind of interesting about the TOW.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing as some people quote Wikipedia and they say that the M1A1 was made in 85. Well, I'm sure it existed in some prototype form in 85, but it was not delivered until, what, 87? Something like that. So it's not going to fit.
I was going to say voice callouts, because that was largely like taken from researchers and done in a thread aside from us, Josh.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Some of the stuff with German voice lines, you'd get the books on the actual doctrine, and then you want to confirm that with people who served. And then everyone who serves seems to have a different way of doing things. So we'd call out colors, or we'd call out this and this in my group. And then trying to suss out the most logical and the most general form of that.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. I forgot about that. Yeah, even people who served in the Bundeswehr at the same time didn't always agree on what the correct voice callouts were for things. So it's kind of an interesting dilemma. There's no one source of truth. You just have to get as much info as you can and then make a decision on what you will go with.
Yeah, that sort of seems to be the whole vibe of the game, is maybe it's not 2,000% accurate, but it gets the right feel down.
Yeah, we've had people criticize like modeling discrepancies or whatever, and I don't know, like we do a lot of research up front. Sometimes we don't get it perfect, but it's not worth it to go back and fix it endlessly. It's every change to a mesh takes time that could be spent on something new, and it's just. We have four people on the core team, and we're still working toward 1.0. We are not really going to go back and do any kind of realism corrections unless they're, like, dead easy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I see a bunch of hands up, so I'm just going to ask one more quick question. This is about support call-ins. So is there going to be any type of system where, you know, if you want to call in cast, you can, but 90% chance they're going to get clowned on by Shilkas, so take those out first if you want to have a chance, or is it going to be more like it is now, where you can just have free reign over it?
I can't tell you for sure. We don't have SPAAs in yet, or any kind of AA. I don't know if we'll like disable the cast button if they know that the airspace isn't cleared, or if we'll let you do it at your own risk. I don't know. Remains to be seen.
All right. Well, that's all I've got for now. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. I got a question for you before you bring in someone new.
All right.
Is there or will there be a way to change thermals from white hot to black hot?
You took that from the chat.
Yes, I did.
Well, the people who are actually on the stage get priority over the chat people, because that's what a patron stage is for.
Yeah. I actually have a couple questions that just popped in my head when you were talking about just dealing with primary sources, I guess the term would be.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, because I know you're going to update the logistics at some point. I'm not going to spoil anything that I saw in the event hub, but you mentioned in the roadmap that you're going to expand campaign at some point. Will the aircraft and CAS and artillery be available? Will that come into enough point, be affected by logistics at any point in the campaign, or is that something you're thinking about or just didn't think about at this point?
whether the support call-ins will be affected by logistics?
Yes, in the campaign.
The logistics system as it is now will be changed so that it's like split up. I don't think there's going to be a single logistics value that affects everything. It's going to be multiple threads. So it's pretty certain that support call-ins will rely on something else.
Okay. I had a third question, but I can't remember it right now. But the second question is, because you were talking about like with primary sources, if you've been looking at like with East Germany and the Soviet stuff, have you noticed like did they use similar systems in terms of like callouts and just tank communication?
Yeah, the East Germans used a pretty similar system to what the Soviets used, because they were equipped by the Soviets and probably trained by them as well, but there's still some stuff in there that you can see. It's kind of consistent with World War II German command flow, because they had a lot of people who were, you know, ex-tankers from the Wehrmacht. So yeah, it's kind of like a hybrid or a blend between them. I don't remember the particulars. I couldn't tell you like which details they took from what doctrine, but it's an interesting thing, a little divergence from what the West Germans did, because they were not taking Soviet influence, obviously. They were more NATO-aligned. So each part of Germany had their own little take on command flow, and then post-war they had to unify it and make a new standard.
Just have one thing, like, way in the future. Would you mind, like, posting your sources that you've gotten over the years into this sort of stuff?
We will not post sources.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Disregard then.
Yep.
All right. You gentlemen have a good one.
Take care. Yeah, you do.
You can kick me out.
And I want to clarify, we do pretty hardcore research. We try our best to find the right answer, and we try to find it from multiple sources if we can. But the reason we do not share sources is because if you share sources, you invite people to critique your sources. And we are very much not interested in having those discussions. Pretty much, we try to find the correct answer, and then what we say goes.
Yeah, Wikipedia is fine.
Yeah.
That question I asked earlier was from a patron. You realize that, right?
Yeah, but I don't want it to turn into ask your questions and texts and then we'll just talk for an hour.
Okay.
But if we end up with some dead space where nobody's waiting to talk, then I can take some text ones.
There you go, Shock Troop. I've clarified.
Next up is Mad Stalker.
Hello. Yep. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah. I'm fine, thanks. So I have one question, because in the last update, the big update, you remove the damage log in-game, like when we are fighting. So basically I've been using the voice lines of my crew to know if an enemy tank is destroyed or not. Like they say, if you have to start again, or you can target another one. So I was wondering if you're gonna change it, maybe remove the voice lines or anything, because I think it can defeat the point of removing the damage log. Like, the only way for me to know for sure if an enemy tank is destroyed without the voice lines is if it's on fire, because basically if it's on fire, it's destroyed. But often I shot like tanks that do not turn on fire, like, you know, the Soviet tanks, they blew up, and so it's pretty easy. But the smaller one, like if you don't hit the ham box or maybe the fuel tank, they don't go on fire, and I waste maybe 2 or 3 rounds just to make sure. Because I'm kind of waiting for the fire confirmation before moving on. I don't know if you're gonna change that or leave it be. What's your plan?
Well, first of all, the situation will improve when voice lines arrived for the East German vehicles, but in the meantime, you can hold the space bar, and if there is an active target that your commander has spotted, the commander will try to aim at that target when you're holding space bar. So if you hold space bar and nothing happens, that means there's no target in sight. That's a good clue when there are no voice lines to tell you ceasefire. Also, we don't have any plan to bring back that text chat, or that text damage log right now. It was originally meant to be a debugging tool, and we left it in for a while just because, but we have improved impact effects now. You can see that you hit something, and not knowing immediately whether you blew it up or whether you killed any crew, that's fine. That's a normal feature of tank combat. The crew, the AI crew, know what the targets are doing in their spotting. They actually have kind of a supernatural ability to detect that it's okay to cease fire now, and then they call ceasefire. So we'll be relying on that more. But like I said, in the meantime, you can just use spacebar to see if there's another target in sight, and if your gun doesn't move, then you're fine.
Right, I've been using a bit the spacebar button, oftentimes they don't see the targets when they are a bit far from you. That you you can spot them visually, but your crew do not know. So it's not always a good way to know. Like if you're shooting a target, I don't know, maybe 900 meters, 1 kilometer away, well, the crew can say.
The crew can spot targets up to about 3 kilometers. So if you're at very long range and you want to confirm a kill, you're just going to have to get closer for the crew to see.
Oh, okay. Maybe not the distancing, but maybe the terrain or some trees in the way that you can see, because you can manage to see the tank through the tree or anything, and the crew can't. So this was just like a quick question about that, because I didn't know if you had any more plan relative to that.
Gotcha.
Thanks, that's my only question right now.
Alright. Thanks for joining.
Thanks.
Next up is Steggy again.
Alright. So another question I have is, what kind of details can you give about what you're working on and planning on implementing in the campaign soon?
We cannot give any.
Fair. Certainly fair. Then another question would be, how realistic are you going to go with like things like the wire-guided missile launchers? Are you gonna like have are you gonna go so far as, let's say, having the tow cable get stuck on trees if you fire it over a tree, or are you not gonna go with that level of realism?
I would say it's more likely that we will not do that, just because it's a pain to implement that, and it sounds like time I'd rather spend doing more important things.
Yeah, indeed. There's limited time, limited budgets, limited dev team, too.
Yeah.
You also get a limited amount of fun out of that. It's like, oh, cool. They spent all this time making this thing, and, like, 3 people will complain about it and ask for it to be an option to turn off or something.
Yeah, it's like, not worth the effort for the amount of, like benefits it'll bring. And I do like how that's sort of a mentality in the dev team. Like, hey, it's like, it's sort of like a risk reward, but more like with a balance of enjoyment and how long it takes to implement something and how much it would impact the game.
Yep, it's always a balancing act.
Yeah, indeed. Another question would be, I believe I asked this before, so feel free to correct me. What has been your favorite things on the game to work on so far? Like the tanks, the hit collision, physics, maps, that sort of stuff.
There's been a few things that were fun to make. I really liked making the flammable system, where it does like separate compartments and temperature and oxygen tracking and all that stuff. Fire coming out of the hole that you shoot. That was cool. Nobody asked for it. I was just like, I could probably do this, and then I did it.
Yeah,
I got away with it because it was early. Keep leaving my phone on my desk for these. I got away with that because it was early in development when we didn't really feel a time crunch yet, and it was mostly just, okay, let's do this, okay, let's do that. And I got away with spending a whole week or so on just this burning system. Nowadays, we would probably write that off as that's way too detailed, maybe later, because we have more important stuff to do, but I got away with that.
Okay. Speaking of, my final question for that,
Wait, hold on, Kavi, what was your favorite thing you've worked on so far?
Yeah. Oh, do tell.
Why, thank you, Action. No, you're fine. I hate you, you're fine. The neatest piece of engineering I got to work on is not necessarily something you guys get to see. I implemented a build system that we use, which actually does the versioning requirements and stuff in the bottom right, so the dates and all that stuff that you see. And it does a lot of processes that are a bit more destructive to the game, to the software that we use, whenever Action needs to actually create a build. And automating that, I feel like, has been a good thing in the long run. Especially, you'd have to answer for that.
That's been very helpful, because instead of every time we want to make a build being like, okay, I have to bake all these things, I have to rerun the nav mesh and the collision, I have to make sure I don't save it because it'll overwrite the editor version, I have to change it to say dev build, I have to change the number, like, I just set a couple of options and click go and it does it automatically. Like, that's really cool. That saves a lot of effort. Nice. So that's Kavi and his systems programming background being the MVP.
Yeah. Alrighty. When Action puts me in front of, like, hey, can you test these tanks and make sure they're set up correctly? I'm like, oh god, so many options. Everything is on fire. What do I do? But then when he asks me, like, can you make me just like a build script to do this? And I'm like, you got it, buddy.
Yeah, he did the day-night thing that lets you pick if the mission's that day or night. Those missions all had they had randomized time of day, as most of you probably remember, and some of them didn't have night options at all, and some of them had like 5 day options and 1 night option. It was all over the place, and he made a script that would automatically figure out which options they had and then give you the correct choices, and then when the mission launches, it actually just picks whatever you chose. It'll still allow the randomizing, but it does the correct category. So it's like, whenever there's some kind of complicated flow issue or getting systems to talk to each other or revising some workflow thing, he usually finds the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Usually. And then sometimes I'll go way complicated and Action will be like, no, man. Just do this.
I'll be there's a balance. That's why we have a team.
Yeah.
All right.
Work with people who compliment you in anything that you do.
Hey. Gotta get some good motivation. Anyway, I'll leave this stage for someone else. So whoever's next, take it away.
All right. Thanks.
Take him away, toys.
Next up, we've got some guy with a muted mic.
Hello.
Hey.
I would like to ask what feature you're looking forward to adding the most.
Ooh, interesting. There's a couple of things I'm looking forward to. One is a rewrite of certain parts of the fire control systems so that we can do things like forcing a certain azimuth for reloading or gun lock, gun detent positions where the muzzle goes up. Or swapping different optics for different weapons, like the commander's scope and the M60 cupola, commander scopes in general. Just a lot of little details that we could put into the current system, but it won't really flow well It's better to do a little rewrite first, so that's going to be fun. And then, honestly, I think infantry is going to be wild. Just being constantly aware of if I pass thick tree cover or drive through a town or something, I can just get RPG'd. It's gonna change the calculus for maneuvering quite a bit.
More in-depth.
Very interesting. Thank you.
More in-depth campaign system. What I'm looking forward to.
Ooh, that's a good one too. Yeah, we've been doing some testing of the new campaign system that we have planned, just as a like a separate game, almost like playing a board game, and it's much cooler than the random mission sequence that we have now as a campaign.
All right, thanks. I have no further questions.
Yeah, thanks for your questions.
Thank you.
Next up is Toby Silverstone.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Yo.
So, a couple of months ago, or it may have been even a month or two ago at most, you were talking about how one of the issues with the game right now is that the commander of the tanks, the AI, can only really see out the front vids and slots. They can only really see where the turret itself is pointed, and this is why you see turrets on tanks all doing quite regular 360 degrees on the AI. Is that something that's looking at going to be a fairly soon to be fixed or revised, or misunderstood what's been said there, or sort of what's going on with that?
There's no timeline available for that. That's at some point we'll expand the AI to use multiple points of view and to have separate crew members scanning separately. The gunner will be forward facing, obviously. Commander can use the cupola, any optics that are in it. A lot of tanks have commander scopes built into the cupola. But we know we're going to do it. We can't tell you when. That's all.
And then the other one was more, you've already partly discussed it tonight, so it's more just a follow-up. But you were talking about how obviously there's going to be, you know, a lot more cooling artillery, and you know, there's going to be cast support, there's going to be infantry. Do you have plans, or can you even say if there are plans to have like voice commands, which we'll be able to hear as the player? Like, you know, you give a, because you're the platoon leader, let's say, you know, you give a command, you know, I need artillery at X, Y, Z coordinates. Will you then get a verbal artillery confirmation, or will you be sticking to the text based on screen acknowledgement?
We already have the voice lines recorded for most of those. We just haven't put anything in yet.
Okay, cool. I think that's it then for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Patron, who I imagine is a patron.
I almost added you today.
I have a question, Mike. Will we ever see turret inertia whenever we move the turret like side to side, or is that one of those really small details that wouldn't add anything to the game?
That's something that's planned to come with the fire control system rewrite.
Oh, hell yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
He almost said help yeah. That's awesome.
Next up we have Bo Jiden. Or not. Alright, you have 10 seconds to join the stage, otherwise we're going to do the next person.
10 whole seconds? That's a lot. What are we going to do for 10 seconds?
I can answer that one question from before about White Hot and Black Hot.
All right.
Oh, no, he's here.
Yeah, sorry, I was just in-game on something. I just wanted to ask, Thunder, what was the feature that gave you guys the most trouble adding?
The most
so
trouble?
Far.
Yeah, so far. Right.
So far.
So far that we were successful in adding. Let's go with that.
Oh, I was going to go with unadded yet.
I have definitely one for unadded.
I was going to say infantry has been happening for a while because it's the state controllers for the troops are complicated. We had to put an animator and a programmer on it, like dedicated. But as far as added already, that's... Oh, okay, the physics stuff, that's going to be my answer. Specifically, armor modeling. The interaction with the armor, like shot piercing and detecting if it went through and what happened with the spall, that's easy. That's just reading a bunch of research papers and test results and coming up with formulas. That's actually fun. Making the game detect all of that in real time for every vehicle and not screw anything up, that's actually rather challenging. And the way that we solved it before does not scale well, and it's causing CPU bottlenecks. So we've come up with a new way. Some people have seen me prototyping it in the exclusive channels. That's almost ready, and that should increase the performance for CPU bottlenecked systems pretty soon. So I have high hopes for that, but that's that whole problem was a huge pain in the ass to figure out.
Okay. Well, that was my only question. Thank you.
Gabby, what do you got for an answer for that?
Jesus. It's partially there. UI stuff with respect to maps in game.
Oh yeah.
We have a really, really cool system laid out for that. And if you just had that map, it would be set. That's it. But with what we want to do for that map and additional UI controls we want to add around it, it's technically infeasible to do so right now. It needs kind of a rewrite. I'm not looking forward to that. Hopefully someone smarter and can take that off my plate. But yeah, that is something that I don't much care for at the moment.
Yep. Makes sense. All right. Next up we have Gaff.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
I like how your avatar is flipping us both off. I appreciate that.
So my question is about the concept of freedom of action during missions. First of all, sorry for my English, because right now I'm using Google Translate because I'm not so good in sustaining a conversation in English. But anyway, let me explain my question. During a mission, for example, one of the company attack type, if I wanted, I could take advantage of the fact that some events occur as a result of reaching waypoints. So if I want, I could ignore them and go around the map to eliminate enemy units before the scripts come into operation. Do you think it would be appropriate to introduce limitations such as obstacles or defensive positions that can prevent such a thing? Or do you think it is the right to leave maximum freedom of action? Now, this question came to my mind because if the multiplayer mode is implemented in the future, this aspect could effectively impact the gaming experience. Just a thing that came up into my mind. So I don't think it's necessarily a thing, but I would like to know your opinion about it. Because a few streams ago, I think Action mentioned it that one of the things that you guys are going to take into consideration for moving from the PvE to the PvP is to understand how is the propension of the players to cheats or something else. So this make me to think about this. Yeah, sorry, my English is very bad. I'm sorry.
No, your English is great, first off. Good job.
Yeah, that's
seriously.
The stuff you said about people kind of going and doing their own thing and not following the intended scripted progress of the mission, yeah, that's something we've thought about. I don't think we'll force people to do it a certain way, but we could discourage certain things, like driving all the way around the back of the map to do a flank or whatever, and that will become more possible when infantry are added and when there's a support for larger amounts of units, because right now we can only do so many things in the map at once. or else it, you know, the game will run more slowly. But in the future, we'll be able to do more, and we'll use some of that ability to fill out the space and make sure that your path of least resistance isn't to disregard the order and go a different way.
Definitely. For as developers, we kind of have two pretty general avenues for controlling that, or controlling the player, which is, you know, dump them in to one space. Hey, you have to move this way, which will eventually just become unfun, or improve upon the AI in such a way, like with infantry being more reactive and, you know, there, and the actual units that you're trying to flank being more reactive, so they can adjust as well to you trying to, you know, pull a once over on them, you know? So, yeah. We have a lot more work ahead of us, but, you know, players will cheese when they want to cheese, and that's just feedback for us to be like, okay, how can we make it harder for these people, or more challenging, or more fun?
Okay, I'm extremely satisfied by your answer, okay?
Thank you. Please stop flipping me off.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, bye. Next we have TJ.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hey.
So, yeah, this last patch we got options for night, but there's not really any options for, like, dawn or dusk, which is, I feel like, that's what they say is, like, you know, that's usually, like, when you're supposed to expect an attack. Will we see more, like, dawn, dusk combat scenarios?
That remains to be seen.
Why I'm laughing, but I won't say why.
Very well. But also with the lighting, we'll, like, not real time, but we'll, like, the time progress through the mission. So, like, again, with, like, a dawn and dusk scenario, like, maybe, like, dusk, like, the sun's, like, completely set, so it transitions from, like, visibility at the start of the mission to, like,
We actually have that ability. It's like right now, if I flipped a switch in the code, it would do that. But we turned it off. I'm not sure if we'll do it or not.
Because that is something I feel like, assuming, like, you know, performance is acceptable. Like, start of the mission, like, visibility, like, you can see, but as it progresses, like, you have to rely on illum flares more and whatever. But I guess that kind of depends on what type of mission it is and how long that takes.
Yeah, it's not so much a performance issue. It's it gets more difficult to make things work correctly if you're not going to be day or night mode only, and you have to switch halfway through. It's not impossible, but it's much easier to just disable it right now until we feel like revisiting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with that. That's a good jab action. High five.
Alrighty.
Alright.
Well, next up is Hawkmoon.
Hawkmoon.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I have two questions. The first is if you're planning to add anti-tank obstacles, ditches, trenches, and things like that.
Possibly.
Okay. You, and you said out there, I believe you said possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
If you have planning to add the trenches, the digs, and anti-tank obstacle other than mines.
What? Is that the same question?
Oh, okay. I thought it was cut my question. The second question is, seeing the PT-76, you are planning to add amphibious vehicles and amphibious attack, or for now just on the ground?
There isn't any place in the current theater where an amphibious vehicle would be able to do a water attack, so no.
Okay. No, I think I was thinking about lakes or rivers?
Right now we don't have any rivers. I'm not sure if we will or not.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is Joe the Pirate.
All right. So I'm just going to kind of rapid fire ask about three very small features. So ballistic shields for optics, high low rate of fire, and fire suppression systems. Is that too far into rivet counting, or might we see any of those?
Ballistic shields for optics already exist. Most of the time they get penetrated. What was the high low rate of fire was the second one? Probably, yeah. We'll see. And what was the third one?
Fire suppression systems.
Oh, also probably.
Sweet. Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next up, we've got Origami.
I love that. I didn't even have to say anything. You just nailed him.
Hello!
Hello.
Howdy.
So, one, still a huge fan. Amazing game, and I really like to see the progression. It's always fascinating to me. So, kudos. And awesome. So, two, kind of a, I guess, redundant question, because you guys had answered this last I remember a fair while ago, and I know it's not exactly high priority right now, but I was wanting to know if there's been any sort of, like, thoughts behind what you guys might have been planning for the QA, or not the QA, but the Patreons. Because I remember one suggestion was giving them names that they can put on their tanks, like on the barrels, like some people do in real life.
We still have some ideas, but nothing that we're able to commit to right now.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Yep. Alrighty. Next up is TJ again.
I thought I was farther back in the line. So, kind of small details, but any plans for, like, I guess, cosmetic differences in, like, in vehicles? I mean, not like the subtle switching, but like different like command variants, and like just, like this one has like more antennas, or this one's like a mortar carrier, or stuff like that.
I wouldn't call those cosmetic differences. That's full on new variants.
Well, I mean, cosmetic in the sense that it doesn't make a difference. Like, you're still shooting Sabo through it. It's the only difference is it's not, there's no 50 cal shooting back at you.
I see. We thought about it. Not sure if we'll do it or not.
All
right. It's probably going to be the same answer for most things. Yeah, we've thought about it since it's our job to think about the game and what we can put in it. And no, we don't know if we're going to do it or not.
Well, I mean, I guess the difference is high priority, low priority. No, that's just stupid. Why would you ever think of that? Like, that's really the categories you can put those kinds of stuff into.
Yeah.
I would put the third thing into low priority as well. No.
I would put it into we can't pick a category because we don't know if we're going to do it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We right now are in, like I said earlier, balancing act to, you know, features of the gameplay, and then I guess some of those detail, that detail work that is just like, wouldn't it be cool if we really want to steer our development power away from, wouldn't it be cool if, because that really doesn't help us with some of the stuff.
What I'm asking, I mean, I feel like that's mainly just when modelers have time, because that's literally just going to be a copy paste, because, you know, command variants, it's just going to have like, you know, three more antennas.
It is surprisingly not just that. I wish it was. And that's not a fact of, like, how we've, you know, made the systems, the core underlying systems. That is kind of more along the lines of the coordination with a very small team, with how much stuff we have.
Something, the smallest possible change you can think of to a vehicle is, that's still an entire re-export of the model, and coordinating with an artist and doing billable time and making a new thing. Like, once it gets into the engine and it's like, okay, set this as like a cosmetic variation. That's easy. But actually committing to the effort required to make the thing in the first place and then importing it, that's a significant thing to do. That's taking somebody away from other work they could be doing in that time.
Yeah, so. Again, obviously this is more like low priority stuff, but you know, subtle differences like mortar carriers or like ambulance variants, that does kind of add a whole new it definitely adds to the game.
It's the detail of the area. We get that. It's just like, that's definitely more along the lines of, okay, we've knocked some of these very big features out of the way. Maybe we can set up or plan with some artists a bunch of these smaller, like, nice-to-have details, and then get them all out in one go, instead of having the constant context switch of, hey, can you make this small thing now, and re-export this, and then I'll take an hour to get it into the game, and oh no, the verts are sticking to the door again, and etc. problems that pop up.
Yeah, I think part of the periscope on one of the M60s is parented to one of the road wheels for some reason.
That's just how it is in real life. you might not have expected that, but in our research, that's what is there, and we don't show our sources. So deal with it.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah, you played us.
All right. Thanks for your question.
Yep. Oh, good lord, everyone's asking for leaks.
They'll get something, I'm sure.
Next up, we've got Hawkmoon.
Okay, another question is, with the cast planes, there are any plans for laser designation flares and smoking marker to highlight the area, or only will be like the artillery with a spot on the map?
Probably just going to be marked on the map.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Next up is Toby Silverstone.
Hi guys, again. So, with the latest patch, we got stuff, and I know people have already mentioned, we got stuff like the dirt bank, I can't remember the technical term for it, where they dig in and dug themselves down like that. But obviously, for technical purposes, you guys have done it straight on top of the terrain. My question is that with that kind of thing, are we going to ever see some sort of, What's the best word? Penetration mechanics to it that is more obvious to the player, because right now it's not clear. It's not very clear when, you know, when you hit that bank, whether the round's actually gone through into the tank. Obviously, the lovely effects you put on for impact effects on the round hitting tanks or other armored vehicles is not seeable through the bank. So are we going to see some sort of, like, maybe, I don't know, dirt splatter or something? Or am I just blind and too focused on trying to murder tanks to notice that it's already in?
I would say that not being able to tell what your shot did after it went through dirt is a pretty normal consequence of a dirt pile being there.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I thought you said. Related to that, though, is there likely to be a degradation of the dirt pile, especially when firing some like high explosive at or near them, or are we going to see them just as a static, even if the physical model doesn't change, are we going to see like a some sort of maybe, you know, better penetration, more rounds put into it, or is it really just going to be, it is here is the value, it's done, round hits it, you do your calculation, it either penetrates or it doesn't, or, you know, how are you planning on developing that system?
I wouldn't anticipate any kind of degradation mechanic. Right now it's volumetric armor, it has a certain rating, it depends on how much LOS thickness you try to put the round through, and that's probably how it's going to stay.
Okay, cool. So basically, it's another feature that you guys are going, you know, it'd be great to do, and if we had 50 people on the team, we'd do it, but right now, we're a five-person team, you know, at max.
Four-person team. I suppose,
but
so.
Also,
I mean,
not necessarily.
Yeah, some stuff we wouldn't do even if we had 50 people. We just don't think it's important, then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then my only other question came up similar to, you know, based on the current patch content, is very much that we are still are you ever looking at like removing the toxic, I don't really know what shape it is, but like the weird like ball bullet object things, are they going to go invisible, or are they going to be replaced with an actual bullet, or
you know, what's the plan there? Because at the moment it's still a bit obvious when looking down scope that you're firing a gray ball.
That's either going to be replaced with a different model or kind of ghosted out somehow. I mean, it's not completely unheard of to see a bullet through high magnification optics, but they're a little too obvious now.
Okay. All right. So, again, so it's just another feature that we'll see in time. Brilliant. Guys, been wonderful as usual. Happy, you know, keep supporting you guys until the end of the Earth.
All right. Appreciate your support. You.
I had to remember, you know, like, what bullet is he talking about? Oh, right.
The pills of doom.
Yes.
What's up, Joe?
Yo, so I'm back. One question about multiplayer, multi-crew, obviously really far away, but are you guys leaning towards in-game radio system or just use Discord for communication between, say, like, two tanks in your platoon?
That's too far off to answer.
Fair. Kind of figured that's where that was going to go. And then another question is kind of general interest. Like, actually, when you first started, like, Josh's Untitled tank game, where did you think it was going to go? Like, sort of what was your wildest dream of what it was going to be?
Wildest dream is where it is now. To be honest, it's gone very well.
Right. Did you kind of expect this to get sort of to this point, like doing active streaming and Patreon kind of blowing up as it did?
No, I wouldn't say I expected anything like that. It was a side project. It was kind of a pipe dream. Like, what if I could make a tank game that I actually liked playing? And then as it got momentum, I started to think, okay, maybe there's actually some likelihood to that after all. And I don't know. In general, I try not to daydream too hard about stuff. I just focus on the here and now and moving it forward and then see what happens. So there wasn't really a moment where I thought, oh man, what if I sell this many copies and I make this much money and this many people play it? Like, I just kind of kept doing it and now here we are. So it's been cool. It's good to see.
I remember coming over for lunch one day when I was doing, like, separate contracting and we were talking about something innocuous, and then you're like, oh my god, this game pays for my rent. And I'm like, that's pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, I'll get hit with it in, like, moments that. Like that.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I think to myself about how cool it is that I don't have to work for a boss, and I don't have to go into an office for 40 hours a week to make somebody else rich from my skills. And that's pretty cool. That's like cheating the system. We're stuck in a hell, and I've found a way to sidestep that, which I feel incredibly blessed for that.
Yeah, I mean, for what it's worth, you guys have made something, goddammit, something really awesome. Like, I literally like listening to some of the interviews you did where you talked about not being satisfied with the tank games out there. It was like you were reading exactly my thoughts, and it seems like the thoughts of tons of other people. So really awesome, and look forward to more of it.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad it's resonating. It's cool that I can make other people happy as well.
Great. And I'll leave it to the next person. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, we've got a mod. What's up, Pabula?
Oh my god.
How you guys doing?
No.
Well, we were doing good.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, all right, go. All
right, my question is very small. So I know you guys are making a lot of progress in the roadmap, making leaps and bounds, and I'm happy to see that. Is there a chance we'll see an April Fool's event this year, or is that going to be pushed off in exchange for work on more, I suppose, relevant projects?
I guess
we've
we'll
never
have to
done
see
an April Fool's.
Yeah.
No, we've never done an April Fool's ever.
Right.
When is? Can you point out something that's silly in the game? Yeah, that's right. Your silence means everything.
we will do our best to put out the next update as planned, and what that plan is, you'll have to wait and see.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Completely seriously, too. Come on, man. A mod of all people asking.
As if we would April Fools. Nobody look up T34 April Fools 2021 or April Fools 2022 UAZ rally. Like nothing like that's ever existed for sure. So,
well, those were all real. When we were developing it, you told me this was part of Fold the Gap. All of it true.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. The fleet of T-34-85s blaring the Soviet national anthem, that is a historically correct thing.
That's what they would do.
Yep.
Yeah. I would expect that from the Soviets. So it just makes sense. So April Fool? No, that doesn't. No.
Also, I like how we... on a different note, we introduced both the Abrams and the Bradley in an April Fool's update, but we did it kind of opposite, where in the Abrams April Fool's mission, you were getting swarmed by T-34s and just annihilated, but in the Bradley April Fool's mission, you were in a T-34 and a bunch of Bradleys swarmed you. So it's like, you can't keep the Bradley down. The Bradley's always going to get the last laugh.
I mean... it's second to none.
That is so true. So true, King. So,
yes. What leaks do we got for patrons this week?
Let me think about it while Toby asks another question. Boy, that guy who asked about the White Hat and Black Hat must be really disappointed right now that people keep talking.
Did you answer him yet?
No, I got about halfway through the sentence where I was going to answer it, and then someone joined.
Toby, make it quick.
Well, I'm going to do it then. White hole, black hole. Is there any option to change it? Is it planned, etc., etc.? Because, you know, someone's going to have to ask it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for
following the rules.
As a valued patron who has joined the voice channel for the Q&A, I will be happy to answer your question. We have been aware for a while that there's different options you can do for thermals, white hot, black hot, changing the exposure or whatever contrast settings. It remains to be seen whether we'll put any of that stuff in. It definitely falls lower on the priority scale, and there is some shader work that we would need to do in order to properly convey it, which makes it even more difficult, but not impossible. I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Okay, and then seeing as the oh, there is someone else. So in that case, I'm going to leave my question just to show you one. So have a good night.
You should just get it out of the way now. Just do it. Go.
Okay, fine. let's take your game engine, and if you could, let's say you have, you know, someone turns around and gives you the license, would you ever take your game engine and put it on a sci-fi setting? And if so, what sci-fi would you like to turn it in and use it for?
Interesting question. I'm not sure if I would, but just for the sake of the question, let's say we did. I think doing a mech game with tank armor penetration mechanics would be cool.
That would be cool. I would just try to remake Battlefield 2142, but I'd call it something completely different. Battlefield 2486 or something. It could be a complete rip, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't do worse than Battlefield 2042.
Exactly. They had the perfect setup for everything. They could have just transferred it all over, but they cocked it up.
Okay. Well, I'll hand the stage over to someone else in sharp for the evening, so have a good night, lads.
A good night to you.
Steggy is back.
You're probably the last person, Steggy, so make it a good one.
All right, I will. Question. Will either both or the campaign or the skirmish battles, as in the actual battles, will they have anything resembling morale mechanics?
Well, like force getting routed?
Not just that, just force getting routed, or maybe like dwindling support for the war efforts on the campaign, like civilian things like civilian unrest causing a few penalties, that sort of stuff.
Well, the health bars that you see on the campaign placeholder thing, those are basically morale. Or like nationwide will to continue the war. So I guess you could say that's already in there. But mm-hmm. I don't anticipate it being a more detailed mechanic beyond that.
Yeah, that's certainly fair.
Yeah, it's very broad stroke at the moment. And then maybe as we do more development, we'll see areas where, oh, we can leverage this system that we already have. But that's kind of more of a, we get to play with things and make them fun. Like when Action was noting that we've got this, like, the campaign rule setup that we're playing around with on the side. That's where we can kind of fine-tune that, if it makes sense.
Yay.
That was your last question. Forever.
Alright, I'm actually going to let Doobie ask, because he hasn't been on here yet.
Let it. Yay. Fine.
Hello.
Hey.
Make it good.
First of all, good work on the optimization. I can finally play 4K at 50 FPS once again.
Oh, sweet.
The effects update kind of broke that for a while, but now it seems to be much better. But anyways, my first question, sometimes there's shells that get into like gaps between the mantle and the turret armor and like the turret ring that don't fully penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine having a shell go in there and partially penetrate would probably move things out of spec and cause those axes of movement to jam. Like if you had like a 100mm AP round stuck in your turret ring, but it didn't go all the way through. Is there any possibility that could cause a turret jam without full penetration at some point?
I see very little chance of that happening.
Okay. And that's, the second one is in the future campaign, the longer it drags on, as like if it's fairly evenly matched, would you see like the overall skill level of units fielded drop as like conscripts are pressed in the service and take up combat roles compared to the relatively better trained troops that were present at the start of the campaign?
I'm not so sure about that. We generally assume competence. We don't balance things differently based on like, oh, the Americans would be better trained or anything like that, and I don't know that we would do anything about conscripts either.
Okay. Well, that's it for now.
Thank you. Good question. Alrighty. Wow. We've gotten through a whole Q&A and no leaks.
I'm thinking about what I can show.
What are you thinking about? What's going on in your tiny little brain? That's not an insult. That's just like, it's efficient.
No, that's an insult. Let's be clear.
Oh. Shit. You got me.
Let's see. A lot of the stuff I've already shown, and a lot of stuff I haven't shown, I don't think I should show yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very dangerous situation.
Don't we have something from Harry to glimpse at?
I can show something that's not a game model. That's like a tease at an upcoming game model.
I think that would work.
Okay, so here's a slightly different flavor of leak. You know what, I'll put it in patrons' voice chat since that's the tradition. And since nobody can talk there to scroll the chat. This is a look at our process for vehicle modeling, specifically the early stage, the research and acquisition. This is a Flak Panzer Gepard. It was 3D scanned, I believe, with the help of a drone, based on the height that these cameras are registering at. It came out very well, and the model that you see on the right, the scan output, that is then passed to the artists who essentially trace it. They build a game model like in the same shape and size and verify it for accuracy that way. So this is what we do with scans. We don't take the scan model directly into the game because it would not be suitable. It's got baked on color and it's super, super high poly. It's just a mess. But when they make their vehicle model the traditional way, they can immediately check it by just putting it into the scan model and seeing if anything is out of place. So that's how we do that. It works really well. We're very confident in the general proportional correctness of all the stuff we put in the game because we use this as our method.
Yep.
And there's a nice look at how it works.
Sorry. Go. The base reference goes a long way to helping us with add-ons down the road as well. Like, any equipment pieces that we can find general measurements for, we now have something solid that we can compare it against and get a very good approximation.
Yep. For sure. So yeah, there's two things to take out of that. One is the process, and then the other is the SSPAAs will be coming to the game. Of course, we've probably said that before, but now you have some kind of physical evidence that we're doing SPAA vehicles.
Does anyone have any last question for us?
Wait, are we still doing one last question?
Nah, I'm just fucking with you. Unless you want to do another question.
No, I want to eat lunch.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. No fun action here.
Mm-hmm. He had to eat. Who does that?
Burger for Josh. No, Borgar for Joosh.
I do like a Borgar from time to time. I'm saving room for dinner, though.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go get some.
Yep. All right. Thanks for showing up. We'll see you all after the stream in a month. It's very nice that it falls on April. Because I imagine... No, that's right. We're not going to have anything unusual at all. You know, just boring old stream. Definitely something to check out, though.
Yeah. And thanks for being patrons, and we appreciate your support, and we love you very much.
Yep.
That's it.
A reasonable amount.
Yeah, that's good. Don't give them too much.
All right. That's it.
Bye-bye.